This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, we have Movie Talk, a program for all things cinema-esque, for the discerning film and video junkie.
Welcome again to Movie Talk. Today, we'll be looking at two films about World War One. They are an intense drama, Journey's End, written by a veteran of that war, and also Sir Peter Jackson's multi-level documentary with never-before-seen film footage, They Shall Not Grow Old. We will start the show, however, with information on the Irish Film Fest, which starts in Christchurch tomorrow. With me now on the phone is Gerry Paul with news on this Irish Film Fest, which is part of 4 days of general Irish festival celebrations around Christchurch. Paul, for starters, can you tell us a bit about the half dozen films that'll be screening from tomorrow at the Academy Cinemas at the Colombo Shopping Mall?
Yeah, sure thing, Hans. So it's very exciting, and not only actually is that going on just around Christchurch, but all around New Zealand. We've got celebrations in Auckland, Wellington, and also the film festivals going on in Tauranga as well.
Wow.
So it's really exciting. It's the first national Irish festival we've ever had, and it encompasses music, film, sport, dancing, and of course film, you know.
Yeah.
So the six titles we've got coming out here, we've got two narrative titles. Now, the most talked about film on the bill is probably Black 47, which I'm not sure if you've heard about, but it's really the first time that people call it the famine, but it was more a starvation in Ireland, has been addressed on the big screen, you know?
Yes.
They're calling it a revenge thriller. It's done the biggest box office ever of any Irish film in Ireland over the last couple of months. So it's really topical and exciting to be getting out here to New Zealand.
Yeah, and you've got quite a few good top actors. You've got Hugo Weaving in that. You've got Jim Broadbent in that. And actually, this was going back, well over 100 years ago now.
The 1840s is when the Great Starvation happened.
Wow, and, didn't that long ago, yeah.
Yeah, 1847, really, is the year it all began. And of course, it's well known that they call it the famine. But there really wasn't a shortage of food there. It was just all being collected up by the English landlords who teamed off abroad. And Black 47, it's based around the story of an Irishman who was off fighting for the British Army, actually. And he comes home to find his family being treated terribly by the Black and Tans, who are the mercenaries the English had sent over, and he sort of goes about a bit of revenge.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to keep...
Black 47.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to... I think we'll be running out of time. So then you've also got four documentaries.
Four documentaries, which, like, really is... It's kind of seen the extraordinary things in ordinary everyday life. One of them is called Making the Grade. And we're really lucky, thanks to Culture Ireland, they've supported the director coming out. So he's going to be leading Q&As. We've got Christchurch's very own Gerard Smith, actually. And he's going to be doing the Q&A. He did the documentary When a City Falls. And he's going to be leading the Q&A down at the Colombo there at Academy Gold. But that's basically a film about the beautiful bond between piano teachers and their students. And it did extremely well at South by Southwest earlier on this year. So we got in contact with Ken, the director, and he actually had relations in Christchurch. So he was delighted when we invited him to come out as part of the festival. We've got another documentary called Shelter Me, Apollo House. And that's about a building that had been reclaimed by NAMA because of bad debts in Ireland, and a load of musicians, including Hozier, Glenn Hansard's Damien Dempsey, who's one of our headliners at the festival this year. They went in and set it up as a homeless shelter. So, you know, a really current topical film with the terrible homelessness situation in Ireland, also New Zealand as well, actually. Seems to be more and more. So that's a really beautiful documentary. There's another narrative title called Lost and Found, which just, I haven't seen the full film yet, but it looks hilarious. It's based around the Lost and Found office in a rural Irish train station and seven interrelated stories.
Oh, I see. That's not a documentary, that one.
So then we've also got Lovers of the Night, which is about a group of monks living in the west of Ireland and about their sort of everyday, not really about religion, but just about their everyday life.
Oh, yeah, that could be quite interesting too.
Yeah, you know, there's a nice, and older than Ireland, of course, which is, and I always struggle to pronounce this word, but centurion, is it centurion for people who live over 100?
Oh, it can be, yeah.
Yeah, it can be. So it's about, so the Republic of Ireland formed in 1916. So these people who are featured in the documentary are actually older than the Republic of Ireland themselves.
Oh, I see.
Older than Ireland, and it goes into stories. It looks at stories of 30 different characters that are all over 100.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, that's an interesting lot. Yeah, well, this is on at the Academy. I think people will... There's four of these are on... No, there's three on tomorrow. There's another two on Friday, another two on Saturday, and one on Sunday. And some of these are repeated, of course. But people will have to check for the times at the Academy Cinema themselves.
Yeah, and the Making the Grade one with the director, that one is on Saturday afternoon at 3:30 p.m. So I'd strongly recommend to get tickets for that one good and early.
Yeah.
And, we're really excited about it going to Christchurch.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to nzirishfest.co.nz.
And where are some of the other festival activities being held?
So we've got the comedians and Damien Dempsey. They're playing at the Fox and Ferret in Riccarton. We've got Lisa O'Neill and Mick Flannery, two of Ireland's finest songwriters, at Mickey Finn's in town. A Rolling Stone are hosting the opening tomorrow, on Thursday afternoon. They've got dancers and live Irish music. The Bog has got a Sunday session. Actually, the All Blacks are playing Ireland on Sunday morning, Hans. So it's a chance to get down to the Bog for that one, and they're going to have music and Shannos dancing all day long.
Oh, wonderful. So okay, we're just about running out of time now, but where can people find out more information about all this?
www.nzirishfest.co.nz.
nzirishfest.co.nz.
Yep. If you like a bit of Irish dancing, get down to the Irish Club on Saturday afternoon. They're playing Gaelic football down there, and they're actually doing a ceilidh, so you can go and learn how to dance.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much for this.
Thank you, Hans.
Cool. And I wish you all the best. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun.
Uramila Mahogwev. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. That was Jerry Paul with information on the Irish Film Fest, which starts at the Academy Cinemas tomorrow. I'd like to thank the sponsor of the show, the Harcourt's Grenadier Accommodation Centre, which is now located at 98 Moorhouse Avenue. If you're looking for a place to live, check out the Harcourt's Accommodation Centre website, www.assetmanagers.co.nz. That address again, www.assetmanagers.co.nz.
Every little noise up there makes me feel sick. Suppose you are knocked out. You won't have to bear this hell anymore.
Second Lieutenant Raleigh, sir.
What is it you're after?
An old friend is out here, Captain Stannard.
You don't want to join them.
Journey's End is a meticulously crafted drama about British soldiers during World War I, based on a play first performed in 1928. Peter Clements has been off to the Academy Cinemas at the Colombo to see this powerful movie. Peter, this film takes us deep into the trenches in France, where the soldiers existed in a state of tedium and terror. What do you think of the way Journey's End handles this subject?
Very well.
Very well indeed, Hans. It's a story set mainly in a dugout in Annie in 1918. And it's the story of a group of British soldiers led by a young officer, Captain Stanthorpe, and as they await the German spring offensive. They await their fate led by an officer who has started to unravel after a too long a period at the front. It's directed very well by Saul Dibb, with a screenplay by Simon Reed. Taken as it is from a play, it is excellent. Members of the cast include Paul Bettany, who plays Lieutenant Osborne, Sam Claflin as Captain Stanthorpe, and Stephen Graham as Second Lieutenant Trotter. All three excel in their posts. This film stands beside the classic All Quiet on the Western Front. It, yeah. It provides us with a first-class view of what trench warfare was really like in 1918.
Yes, well, this is it. The author of the play, which he wrote a book and then made it into a play, that's 10 years after the thing. He himself is a war veteran, so he knew what it was like in those trenches, what a difficult life it was. And this is what he manages to get through, isn't it?
Yes, it's required viewing for all those who think war is fun. I'd like to see it shown in schools, if only so that the young may know that those who went to war, the war to end all wars, and what they had to endure. The acting by the entire cast is excellent, of a very high standard. And although the ending is predictable, one experiences for just 108 minutes what it must have been like to be in the trenches in 1918.
Yes, this is it. I mean, this is what Peter Jackson does in his in our film, which we'll be reviewing next, also, what it's like to be in the trenches. They both capture this. But this film has got that more personal feel to it. There's some interesting touches. This film, as I mentioned earlier, it was based on a book made into a play at that time, 1928. And it's that film... And then it was made into an earlier film in about 1930, you know, and the play of it has gone around the world. It was still performed in Broadway in New York about 4 years ago. So I'd never heard of it before, but it is an important, significant statement by this man, description of what it's like for people in the trenches. That's the whole point, isn't it?
Yes, well, we'll never see this sort of war again, one would hope anyway. But coming as it does on the anniversary of the signing of the truce in 1918, it is a captivating film and it has a message which is timeless.
Yes. And I mean, you get all different aspects. I mean, the film, it's a dark film. There is little time for humour by anyone in that. About the only sort of lighter aspect is one of the only sort of really stalwart sort of a character in it is the cook for them. He keeps on bringing out this food. This is mainly for the officers. It seems the officers get much better food than the other soldiers in the trenches.
Jam sandwiches for them, I'm afraid. Jam sandwiches.
Oh, well, these fellas in there complaining about not getting pineapple and things like that.
No, canned pineapple, yes.
Yeah, that's right, yes. Yeah. And all this sort of thing. And they've got their bottles of wine, champagne and all sorts of things. This is the officers.
Yes.
Now, I think
yes.
This is a point that the author of the book is deliberately making again, that at this point, it's the officers got out of this relatively easy compared to the other fellas outside in the trenches.
And yet, as the book points out, or as that film points out, and They Shall Not Grow Old also confirms, the officers and the NCOs died proportionally more often than the troops.
Oh, yes, this is later in the other film.
Yes, but in Journey's End, too, you see the NCOs officers are out there.
Yes.
They're not all Chairborne Wonders and died alongside their soldiers. And the camaraderie comes across in the film well, does it not?
This is another important aspect of the film, to show this highly necessary friendship and camaraderie between all these people. I mean, they're all suffering there together.
A film well worth seeing, Hans. I'd recommend it to anyone.
I mean, this is, like you mentioned, this is for younger people to see. And, of course, the same applies to the other film we'll be reviewing. That this gives some idea of what war is really all about, just how terrible, how unbelievably terrible, and which nobody ever gets to know. And yet most, you find there's so many with people who've come back from a war, soldiers who've come back, and they simply don't want to talk about it. Now I can understand why. That was Peter Clements helping me with Journey's End. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9. New Zealand filmmaker Sir Peter Jackson also takes us into the trenches of World War I in this truly immersive documentary, They Shall Not Grow Old. Peter Clements has been off to the Academy Cinemas at the Colombo to see this recreation of the prelude, Horror and Aftermath of the Great War. Peter, this film can be quite shattering at times. Do you think They Shall Not Grow Old is a film worth seeing?
Absolutely. Peter Jackson, in collaboration with the BBC, has put together a documentary that covers the First World War as you may never have seen it before. All the footage in the film is actual footage taken during the period, and although colour has been added, this is all more real, and it leaves you actually speechless, the film. Thanks to clever technology and the availability of so much actual footage, most of which I've never seen before.
That's both visual and sound.
Affirmative.
Yes.
The film covers the start of the war and the enthusiasm, the absolute enthusiasm of the young to sign up for the service in the British Army. And while watching it, I was reminded of the words of General William Tecumseh Sherman at the start of the American Civil War. He said to them, the boys gathered there, "There is many a boy here today who looks to war as all glory, but boy, it is all hell." It takes us right to the end of the war, to the 11th hour of the 11th month, and the troops that came home, and the surprising anticlimax it was to so many of them at the end of the war.
Yes.
What Peter Jackson has achieved is the ultimate portrayal of the hell that was the Western Front. The mud, the mangled corpses, the fear, but also the humour of the troops. We see the war not from a general's perspective, but from that of the frontline soldier, made all the more frightening because what we are watching is the real thing, men being killed, men being wounded. The film is for those 16 and over, and although I think there are many 16-year-olds for whom it would be too graphic, I'd like to see it shown in schools so that the young can see the hell that is war, so that they never again will be fooled into thinking it's all glory.
Yes, that sums it up very well. And I mean, it's an amazing film how Peter Jackson has combined both the horror of the war and also there's quite a lot of humour, lighter touches throughout the film. Well, this is particularly, let's say, in the first three quarters of the film, because then we see the, first of all, the people, young people in England hearing that the war has been declared, next thing that they are needed to sign, enlist for the war. And then you get, as you mentioned, all those volunteers. The actual enlisting age was 19 in those days. But there's kids, boys, 16 years old, 17 years old, trying to get in. And believe it or not, the army was accepting them, just telling them to go outside and come in again and have a birthday in between, come back older. And, you know, so, but this is told with touches of humour. But then when you get to that last, let's say, quarter of the film, when they're at the worst battles in the trenches, it just about knocks you out of your seat.
Well, the film was taken, well, it was towards the end of the war that we really saw what happened on the front. But from May 1918 to when armistice was signed in November, a million men died.
Yes.
That's between May and November. That's slaughter on the big scale.
Yes.
And that's what happened, and that's what the front was all about. Life was so cheap for the generals.
Yeah, well, there were quite a few sheep out there being led to slaughter as well.
Yes. What actually hits you is the degradation in which the troops had to live, with the rats, with the lice.
With the food, awful
with the food.
Terrible. No champagne for them.
You could really say it was no picnic.
No.
And yet, they managed throughout to keep their spirits up. They were obviously what we would call today post-traumatic stress when they came back. But during this war, so few, in actual fact, crumbled, but stood the test of time.
Yes. And, of course, as you mentioned with the other film, camaraderie was very important there. They're all out there to support each other.
Yes.
And you see that happen.
And what came across also in this film, They Shall Not Grow Old, was the realization by the British troops that they were fighting an enemy that looked just like them.
Yeah.
And that when, for example, the Bavarian troops were captured, they were like English, only they spoke differently. And there was so much similarity. And in fact, the Bavarians made some caustic comment about give the Prussians hell, because there was that.
Yeah, this is a curious point. I mean, I'm glad that Peter Jackson has developed this angle in the whole thing. I mean, you're out there fighting the enemy, who are all Germans. But as they go along towards the end there, they realize Germany itself is divided. You've got the Bavarian people who did not want to be involved in this war, which was started, as far as they're concerned, by the Saxons. Oh, no, not the Saxons, by the Prussians, I should say. By the Prussians. The Saxons is another bunch that didn't want to, was all that concerned with being. But they all find them in there together. They feel more closer, the Saxons, to the English than they do to the Prussians, yet they find them fighting on the opposite side to the English. Mm-hmm. And all this sort of thing. And this, again, I think is where the film is brilliant, because this is something I've never really thought about, that this was there. And then afterwards, after the end of the war, or when they, some of these, when they got the Germans over to their side, they seemed to get on quite well together.
Yes. What Jackson achieved is amazing when you consider what he was trying to do, just picking up old film, colouring it, and putting it all together.
Yes. Yes. So you felt that colouring was okay?
Yes.
It seemed a bit unusual, because, I mean, I tend to see World War One documentaries as black and white movies, absolutely. And fair enough, the trenches scenes were basically without colour. But everything else around it does lift.
Yes, no, I think it added to it. And we're so used to seeing it. It did give a reality to it that perhaps we weren't conscious of looking at something filmed in 1918 with the colour. Mm. We were able to more relate to what we were looking at. Mm. And I think that's where it served the purpose. But I would caution that because you're looking at footage which is normally either washed out or hazed over, you are looking at the dead.
Yes. Well, to me, this film is a very important historic document and should be seen as such.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you. That was Peter Clements with his views on They Shall Not Grow Old. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9, saying goodbye until midday next Wednesday.